Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
2.2 million Iraqi people made the decision over the past 10 years to leave their country behind. That is the United Nations estimate of the number of refugees created in the aftermath of the U.S. invasion of Iraq 10 years ago. And for each of them, a clutch of belongings, a journey to somewhere, thoughts of what was left behind, the things they wished they had carried with them.
They always talk about books, marbles, toys, and not saying goodbye to everybody they know.
Iraqi refugee Ala Majid, speaking earlier on the program, of the things her two sons wish they had brought with them when they left Iraq. The answer to this simple question of what they all carried for those 2.2 million refugees when they left home, many for good, tells a profound story of what is meaningful about a life when circumstances uproot a family forever. Jim Lamason is a photographer and oral historian whose project What We Carried documents the very specific things Iraqi refugees brought with them when they left their homes. Jim, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So how meaningful is what refugees choose to bring with them when they have to leave home? And again, the circumstances of all the Iraqi refugees is different, and I suspect you're finding that out.
Absolutely. You know, when you're a refugee, you leave often under the cover of darkness, maybe with a kid under each arm, and you have to get out of Dodge. You basically have to round up the few things that you can carry with you. And when most of the refugees leave, they maybe take something like a photograph of their mother, a Quran, a Bible, a piece of jewelry, and a few items to get them through the night. And then they may end up in a refugee camp in Jordan for days, weeks, months, and even years. And those few things that they bring with them make a long journey, and that journey might end up in the U.S., but it might be through Jordan, Italy, Turkey, Russia. And so those things represent their history.
And I've had a lot of experience covering refugee crises and ones that are long after the conflict that originally motivated people to cross borders and to end up in refugee camps or in displaced communities of one kind or another. And it is just extraordinary the extent to which photographs become the nuggets of gold of people trying to hold on to elements of their past lives. And so it is with these Iraqi refugees.
Absolutely. And it might be a photograph of their best friend. It might be a photograph of something that they helped build in Baghdad. One person brought his cell phone, and I photographed the cell phone, and it had the last picture he took in Baghdad of his apartment before he left. Photographs really are meaningful, and so are some of those items that have been handed down for generations and generations and from, you know, the cradle of civilization.
And how much of what is in those photos have you discovered no longer exists because of the difficulties which motivated people to leave?
Yeah, I think a lot of the photographs of the architecture doesn't exist anymore. But what I did after I started this project, I realized that these objects are important and they are the important things that the Iraqi people brought with them, but they also suggest what was left behind. And that's every belonging that they had, their family, their culture, their history. And so I felt that beyond me photographing those objects, we needed to hear the stories. And so I started interviewing the Iraqi refugees and photographing their objects. And then eventually I would make a 13 by 19 inch print of that object, just photographed very simply on white, and ask them to write why this thing was so significant that they brought it above all other things. And what they did was really amazing and beautiful. Some people, they just wrote a very descriptive story about that object, whether it was a phone, a ring, or a Quran. But other people just by themselves chose to do artwork. And I never asked anybody to do anything other than tell me the story. And one woman, an Iraqi woman who was, I think, in her late 60s, she's an artist and an academic, and she brought her anthropology books, and these are tattered, brown, yellow-paged books. And I just asked her to write why she brought that book. And so in ancient Arabic calligraphy, she wrote across the photograph and across the book, and she wrote, "Alas, is today similar to yesterday? Despair, sickness, and foreignness. Will my tomorrow be just like my yesterday?" And it became a beautiful artifact in itself because of the photograph of the book and then how she treated her message. And it's a beautiful thing, totally transcendent.
You know, it seems that these are in some ways stories of people separated from things, all the things and possessions of their lives, but finding amazing new value in these things that they managed to bring with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And these things are prominent. When I started this project, I thought I would treat it like other projects that I've done, which are basically photographs of people in their environment and then their story that comes from an interview. And I did a project starting in 2007 called Exit Wounds, interviewing returning soldiers from Iraq and Afghanistan. And it's basically a traveling exhibit and a book format. And that was the photograph of the person, and then there's a story on the adjacent page. And I started what we carried in that way, and the photographs just didn't work. I photographed the people, portraits in their apartment, and it didn't tell the story. But as I was interviewing, I would always see something on a shelf that I realized was something that they brought with them. And so after about a half a year of taking unsatisfying pictures that didn't tell the story, that's when I realized that the objects are really telling the story. And so they are the most important things that people brought with them.
Who wants to go home, or who thinks that there is a home to go back to in Iraq? Or are people pretty much resigned to move on and stay in their new homes?
Well, many of the Iraqi refugees had to leave Iraq. They were endangered because they might have been participants with the U.S. Army as interpreters or in some service industry. And so the Iraq that they left may not welcome them back. And so I asked one Iraqi refugee early in the project what she thought about the U.S. invasion of Iraq. And she said, "I thank America for getting rid of Saddam, but did you have to destroy my entire country to do that?" And so the Iraq that exists now may be quite different in 2 or 3 years, and it may not even be an Iraq that anyone will recognize. So going home, even though it's really hard to be a refugee in America, going home is a pretty tough task.
Whose object made you most want to apologize, if indeed you ever did?
One photograph that really struck me was a photograph that Bahar Bhutti, an Iraqi psychiatrist, showed me. And it's a picture of him and his wife at the beach in the 60s with 60s cars behind him. And he wrote, "Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end." And so that sense of nostalgia for the Iraq of his younger days really broke my heart, and because I know what Iraq looks like now.
Jim Lamason reached out to us as a Takeaway listener in Portland, Oregon, went to thetakeaway.org to tell us the stories of his photographs and his oral histories. You can head over to our website for a slideshow of some of those photos. That's thetakeaway.org. What are the things you carry? What would you take with you if you had to leave your home forever immediately? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or find us at facebook.com/thetakeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. I take all of you. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage of The Takeaway is supported in part by W.K. Kellogg Foundation, WKKF.org. The Takeaway is produced by WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.